Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Hello, it is Ryan. And we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Hello there, I'm Chris Stashew.
I'm Mike White.
And this is Father Malone.
And we are the hosts of Dreams for Sale, a podcast chronicling the TV show that is, was, and remains to be the only reboot of The Twilight Zone worth talking about. That's The Twilight Zone 1985. On every episode of this show, we look at one episode of Twilight Zone 1985, and on this episode, we're looking at episode 12 of the first season, which is broken up into two segments, Her Pilgrim Soul, and Eye of Newton.
Are you still sure that this is the Twilight Zone we're talking about?
What? Am I lost?
I saw Her Pilgrim Soul. I'm curious. Are you still sure that this is the one to talk about?
Oh, wow. Boy, we're just going to get right into it, huh? To be fair, you're not wrong.
And bending down beside the glowing bars, murmur a little sadly how love fled and paced upon the mountains overhead, and hid her face amid a crowd of stars. A variation on William Butler Yeats, To All Those Who Have Loved and Lost, and Loved Again, on Earth or in the Twilight Zone.
So this episode aired on December 13th, 1985. The first part, we are talking about Her Pilgrim Soul. It is directed by Wes Craven, though you would not be able to tell. It is written by Alan Brennert, who has written several episodes up until this point. Most notably, I guess the ones that stick out in my mind are Shatter Day, but that was a teleplay. And also the teleplay for One Life Furnished in Early Poverty, as well as Wong's Lost and Found Emporium. And a message from Charity as well. He's written a lot. Probably the most, I would say, most prolific writer up until this point. So, Her Pilgrim Soul features Christopher Tabori and Toomey, and Gary Cole is in there, sort of, a little bit.
Chubby Gary Cole? Where did chubby Gary Cole come from?
Yeah, with that feathered hair.
Mm. Yeah, he looked like Mark Singer more than he looked like Gary Cole in this.
Wow, that's a deep cut, Mark Singer. All the way back to V. If you could see what I hear.
I don't know how I feel about this episode other than it is shockingly boring.
That's exactly how I feel about it.
Yeah, right. Yeah, really schmaltzy.
Yeah, I mean, it's schmaltzy without a payoff too, right? It's also kind of confusing.
I kept waiting for something malevolent to happen.
Right?
Exactly. I was confused why something bad didn't happen. It was like such a positive episode without any like negative payoff. That's why I was confused.
It seems like we had a real problem with family units in the 80s, and this was another one, kind of like that woman who needed to have a child, that horrible episode, where it was like, yeah, you really need to get with your wife and stay with her and have a child. You're afraid of having a child. You need to have one.
Yeah, and what I was confused. Is he supposed to be the reincarnation of her dead husband?
Yes.
Oy, good God.
Yeah, it's a really bizarre, meandering episode because I honestly thought it was going to go in like another direction where he gets like beamed into the computer, and then that didn't happen, and it was just...
That would have been good.
Anything would have been better than what we got, which is Christopher Tabori talking to a computer for nearly a half an hour.
Well, and at least Gary Cole is there to be like the detective. I mean, it's interesting that they cut the character in half. Half being back at the lab and being the reincarnated husband of this computer-generated soul who just shows up in the Matrix. And then Gary Cole out there doing the legwork and trying to find out who this person was and what happened to her. So I guess because she only had 6-7 days to live, but my God, did it feel like forever. I felt every day in my soul.
That this actually is the longest segment of any of the new Twilight Zone episodes. And yeah, man, it certainly felt like it. You could have easily cut this in half. And just for like reaction shots alone, where the characters are just staring and looking at nothing, or like the girl is bouncing the ball. I kept going, can we cut here? Cut this. Come on. Move it along.
Then you would miss those cutting edge special effects.
Oh my God, they were so good, weren't they? It's not in any way shocking to me that Alan Brennert was able to turn this into a stage play, because it felt like the worst kind of, hey, I'm going to be in a play this Friday, you got to come watch it kind of performance.
Yeah.
I mean, I walk away from this episode with a lot of the same feelings I've walked away with a lot of these, like, these longer segments. Where it's like, this should have been shorter, and it didn't serve any purpose being this long, and because it was this long, the story ended up suffering as a whole.
And the whole thing just felt like a rehash of A Message to Charity, also written by Alan Brennert, which I thought was a little more skillful and fun. Like, that one had more to offer and was kind of treading the same ground.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I completely agree. I can see that whole connection from the past to the... to the present going on. And yeah, I was just like, I was confused why this was going on for so long. And yeah, I also thought that he was going to enter in, because there was a moment where they touch hands and his hands look like the same effect that are on her hands. So I was like, ooh, okay, he's going to realize he can become this thing too and run away from this kind of shrewish wife, even though she probably shouldn't have been portrayed as shrewish as she was.
Yeah, that was a weird element. Like, why even have it there other than, you know, he needs to be taught a lesson? Like, I actually thought they were dealing with that wife kind of fairly, because he seemed like a fucking nightmare. Like, every scene they're together, like, from that first scene, he's just like, I don't want to talk about this right now. And then the next scene, he's just, like, packing a bag and, like, leaving. Like, she seemed actually reasonable.
I just don't understand the stakes of this episode, because there aren't any, I guess.
No, yeah. They really weren't.
The idea that she has only a certain amount of time until she disappears, that's it?
Well, I was thinking maybe she would do like a Syl, and she would have like the accelerated young, you know, childhood, and then she would become middle age and then be able to break out of the Matrix and, you know, run rampant and murder Michael Madsen.
Well, we can all hope for that in every movie. Boy, the music was I'm gonna generously say it was overwrought in this particular episode, and reminded me over and over again of Han and Leia's theme from Empire Strikes Back.
Nice.
It really sounded very similar.
I love you. I know. Okay. Great.
Da 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 da.
I don't know what Alan Brennert's obsession with these, like, really saccharine, bizarre episodes is, but maybe move closer to Shatterday and farther away from this, or A Message to Charity, or From Charity. I don't even remember. I remember the episode, but I don't remember the name, because it was another bizarre episode.
Oh yeah, that was the one where the kid gets the psychic connection.
Oh yeah, I just didn't remember
girl.
The entire name.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. A message from, to, about. Sure, yeah. Why not?
Some preposition.
And oh my God. Let's get some Yeats quotes in here to level off the schmaltz.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ.
Ugh.
What's really funny is how diametrically different this segment is from the next one.
Yes.
It's just about
right, which is funny, because it's also Alan Brennert, and it's like, everything that this one isn't. If Brennert adapts something, likely it'll be good. If it's an original piece, it's going to be schmaltzy and boring.
But to be fair, A Message from Charity was also an adaptation. I guess just the source material's not very good to begin with.
Yeah.
So let's talk about the next segment, Eye of Newton.
Another of our continuing tips on what to do if the devil shows up on your doorstep.
Well, that guy wasn't any help at all.
A public service announcement from the Twilight Zone.
So Eye of Newton is an 8-minute segment. It stars all of two people, Sherman Helmsley and Ron Glass. Ron Glass of Barney Miller fame. Also Sherman Helmsley of The Jeffersons fame. And it centers around a professor played by Sherman Helmsley who speaks out of turn and offers up his soul to a demon played by Ron Glass. And hijinks ensue in what is, I would say, one of the best segments of the show we've seen up until this point.
This one was such a great segment for me that I actually recorded this on VHS off of the TV and had it. I probably still actually have the VHS with this on it because I loved it so much. And it just moves. It's so fast. I love Ron Glass's performance. Sherman Helmsley's great as well. But my God, Glass was just fantastic. I love the t-shirts changing. Everything about this episode, this segment, I loved.
Yeah, he is equally funny and genuinely menacing as this demon. I thought he was great, man. I could have watched those two characters for the... if they had jettisoned Her Pilgrim Soul entirely and given us 40 minutes of these guys, I would have been perfectly happy. I loved this one.
Yeah, like had this been the one-act play... I would have gone to see my friend's one-act play if it was this.
Yeah, but I think what makes it work so well is the fact that it's only 8 minutes, right?
I think so, yeah, because it does just cruise along.
It leaves you wanting more.
Yeah, exactly. And yeah, the whole thing in here of him just bragging about how incredible he is and that he just keeps putting Helmsley down, just like, I was expecting more from you, you know? So good. And just
funny.
He's actually... coming up with a plan during this whole thing. It's really clever. Very, very clever.
And the way he ends up finishing off the demon is also hilarious.
Yes.
Get lost.
Yeah, it's so simple.
Oh, no!
Yeah, and in this one, so like we talked about the one where it was the whole wish bank and how do wishes work and yada, yada, yada. And I was just like, okay, whatever. But in this one, Helmsley's like, what is it with you guys and souls? And there's like a little bit of like what they do with the souls. I'm like, oh, okay, that's cute. That's clever. You talk about it for 30 seconds and then you drop it and you move on to the next thing. And that's exactly what I'm looking for in a segment like this.
Yeah. Too often they either sort of ignore what we want to know or they give us some long drawn out explanation that we couldn't care less about. Here it's just like, here's what it is. Okay, cool. Let's move on. I love that. That was really good. And the t-shirts are fucking hilarious. I want to get one of those hell is a city that looks remarkably like Newark.
Over 2 trillion served.
Was it like Gehenna is not a place, it's a state of mind or something?
Yeah. And then his final one of Let's Do Damnation. So good.
Let's do damnation.
I do like how, and I don't know if this is going to continue, but the closing narration makes it seem like this is in line with the Devil Playing Poker episode.
Mm-hmm.
Dealer's
Choice.
It
does seem to call back, like, we're still telling you how to deal with the devil here on the Twilight Zone.
Right.
Right.
But I don't, I mean, you guys have already seen this entire season. Do they do this similar thing again?
Well, granted, I saw this in 1985, so.
Right.
All right, sorry, guys. I figured you're the expert. Oh, God. Yeah, I assume so. I mean, they brought it up now a second time. So let me put it this way. I hope so, but I doubt it.
It would be a nice theme to run throughout the entire series where they keep giving us tips on how to defeat the devil. That would be forward thinking. I don't think they actually had that in mind while they were doing it, but... certainly better than holographic fetuses.
How do you feel about, how do y'all feel about this episode versus Dealer's Choice?
I don't think I'd put them at odds. I think that's they're perfectly balanced. In fact, they probably should have put these two together.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I was gonna say. I was hoping you guys would come to the same conclusion of these should have been paired together because they kind of deserve to be.
I mean, they could have put those two, and then maybe even the Uncle Devil show on a single like demonic episode.
Tonight in the Twilight Zone, all devil all the time.
That's right. I mean, with the next one, we've got a couple Christmas references, so...
Actually, in the next one, every single episode, every single segment in the episode references Christmas.
Oh, good Lord.
Yeah. But I'll tell you what, I liked this bit a lot. I think that, Ron Glass is just... He is fantastic as a demon, not the devil. Mm-hmm. But he's fantastic. It's super charismatic the way a demon should be.
And I love those eyes. The eye effect was really nice.
Yeah, I agree. Like, every time he put the glasses on, I kept hoping he would take them back off.
Right. I have a feeling that those contacts probably hurt like hell, so that's why he kept putting those glasses back on.
I figured the same thing. I mean, at the time, it was all glass contact lenses. They hadn't gotten to the AccuView level just yet.
Right.
Well, those nice hard contacts that you can barely see in.
Yeah, and that just don't allow your eyes to breathe whatsoever.
Yeah. But, I mean, overall, the issue I have with this episode is how poor the first segment is versus how really amazing the second segment is. And I feel like we've been saying this kind of over and over again.
Uh-huh.
But that's kind of what works about this particular iteration of the Twilight Zone is that, you know, maybe one segment doesn't work, but the other one will make up for it. I think... Pilgrim Soul is so long and boring that it makes it hard to recommend the episode overall, but I think Eye of Newton is so fucking good that how can I not, you know?
Well, and the thing about Twilight Zone is it's easier to just say, well, go on YouTube and watch Eye of Newton because it's on there. The 8 minutes is on there. You don't have to watch Her Pilgrim Soul. You could just skip right over it. And I don't know how the DVD release works, but it's broken up into chapters, so you could just skip past it.
Yeah, highly recommended.
Yeah. Because Her Pilgrim Soul is a stinker of like almost a half an hour, and this is not a stinker at all. It's as far from a stinker as humanly possible. So, on the next episode of Dreams for Sale, we are going to be talking about episode 13 of The Twilight Zone 1985, which should be more or less titled The Christmas Episode, because it is broken into three segments, all of which have to do with Christmas in some form or fashion. That is broken into three segments: Night of the Meek, which is a remake of the original episode called Night of the Meek, But Can She Type, and The Star. So until then, where can people find you, Father Malone?
You can always find me on my YouTube channel, Ot5Films. Check out my show, You've Never Seen. You can also hear me over on the Chronicles from the Crypt podcast about Tales from the Crypt. I do that with you, Chris. Did you know that?
I did.
It's true. And on occasion, I guess at least once a month, you can hear me over on the Culture Cast as a guest host.
What about you, Mike White?
You can also find me on the Culture Cast. As long as it's not Father Malone, I will be there. So
that's
the two of
true.
Us can never mix.
We cannot mix on the Culture Cast.
That's right. Don't cross the streams. And then I do a little podcast with you, Chris, The Life and Times of Barney Miller, which I believe is available at barneymillerpodcast.com, and a little thing called The Projection Booth, which is available at projectionboothpodcast.com, where every week I'm taking a look at another strange, unusual movie and talking about it and having people yell at me because they can't find these movies readily.
At least you're not like Father Malone, who gets yelled at for people seeing movies that he says... You might not have seen, and them just screaming at him saying, "We've seen them!"
Yeah, that's the entire review, the entire comment. Yeah, well, I have seen it multiple times. Thank you. Thanks. Appreciate it.
Well, fuck you then. As for myself, you can find the podcast at Twilight Zone 85. You can find me on Twitter at @casualty_Chris. TwilightZone85.com as well was where you can find the podcast. We're on all podcatchers, both iOS and Android. And big thanks to, as always, Roxy Drive and Neutron Dreams for the music for the Twilight Zone 1985 podcast. And we'll catch you on the next episode.